is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation. Foundation.
Brown Bahama News, Janae's Uniform Center, Kelly's Home Center, the Ministry of Social Services, Nassau Cruise Ports, Popeyes, Prince Masters, Bronze Electric Motors, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
All the Christmas I paid you, Mario.
The only way I have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year is when the rich man them bottles get here. I swear, a rich man me want me me Christmas. Tell him up for rich man them see far. See me money come and waste dirty wood. Me want me me go to fancy cars. Me and Warren me lawyers and doctors. And the kitchen
and I. Excuse me for me to interrupt Sean. But he come and the way you minded to say. This coming Friday, and I'm please come over the lawn. You went to see my number one town round town. And it's a Friday evening, boom! The people them tired of working. Fana, fana, Lord, them hear the disco playing. Boom! See that dancing, ain't no summer set.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company. The Foundation live and in full effect on this beautiful Friday, December 6th. If you're out there celebrating a birthday, you are in good company this month. You know, mine was on Sunday. Praise God. You're celebrating yours this month. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to all those persons. My son comes up on the 11th. And my grandmother, who I love oh so dear, she's going to be celebrating her 96th birthday on December 9th. So I'm excited about that. Excited to be able to see that and excited for a new year. I'm excited again, truly, for this sort of a festive season. You know, everybody got the sweaters on. They're feeling festive and so forth and so on. I just pray that we could change our attitude now. Praise God. And we can be able to see some things. I got to shout out my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you as it relates to insurance. Guys, go down there and check them out. They are located number 407 Blue Hill Road South. So if you're in that kind of a space and, you know, if you're looking for something, especially at the beginning of the month, like I tell you that this is my month, so I got to go get my insurance, got to get my car license, got to get everything taken care of like that. I just look at my license. I say, do I have it? No. I got that for a couple of years, so I'm good. But if you're in this kind of a space and you're looking for insurance to be able to get some things done, you can go down there to AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers, located number 407 Blue Hill Road South, the Orange Building, just east of the Golden Gates Shopping Plaza. And they'd be more than happy to assist you, man, to accommodate you, to make sure that you get things taken care of. I may go out on a little limb and say to you that I think that the most affordable, I got to say I think because I haven't shopped around for a long time. But they have been the most affordable and most accommodating for me. So if you're looking for that, you could be able to go down there and check them out. 3411AFS, 341FS. They are good, decent people, could take very good care of you in that space. Guys, make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper, all the information's in there. Check that out and see exactly what government says. No to deportees. Rejects Trump's transition team's request to accept migrants from other countries. And then also it says that officer named in the indictment discharge, COP says. And the Free National Movement accuses Prime Minister of gaslighting Bahamians. Read into the story. The Speaker of the House of Assembly indicated that her life, she feared for her life. So we could be able to see that. I watched the video. I thought the get him was strong. Get him. I thought that was strong. It felt like a finishing move on Mortal Kombat. It sounded like something that Shokan would say. But I'm just saying, right? As we look at those particular things, and also the Prime Minister to meet with Royal Bahamas Defense Force commander to evaluate the agency, being able to see those particular things. Let's talk about these things today, guys. I am indifferent. I think we could pick right up. My guest is supposed to be, and he says he's going to be a few seconds late. So Ambassador Devin Rowe is going to be sitting with me. So I look forward to having that kind of a conversation with you. The lines are going to be wide open today. I want to have a good conversation and talk about these things. I'm still this kind of whirlwind of tribulation that continues to surround our country and trying to figure out whether or not there is a path for calm, trying to figure out whether or not we can get back to a space where development, whether we could look at ourselves internally and look at our communities and recognize the importance of being able to work together. I don't know. Are we too far gone as a nation? This would be the appropriate time to say nation for sale. I think it is. I think if it's not for sale, I'm sure that it's already been leased out. I just won't be decent. I'm disappointed, man. This disappointment has carried through with me. Every time I think about it and the complexity associated with it, I became a little bit more disappointed. I can't say depressed, because I'm not going to allow that to determine, you know, the path of my day. But when I focus on it and I think about it and I try to be able to think about how greedy can a human being be, right? And I say this with a sort of an idea that, and an understanding that we are insatiable in our desire, especially as men. I'm going to talk with you today. I'm going to be honest with you today. Especially as men, our desires are insatiable. When I say insatiable, I mean that it's never ending. It's unquenchable. You can never, ever quench the desire that you with inside you as a man. Now, many of us would say, no, people find contentment. But I believe that that's with regiment. And I believe that that comes with the acknowledgement of supremacy above you. So that's religion, that's faith, that's spirituality. And so those things allows you to tap a little deeper into yourself, to quench the thirst and the desire that you have for these things. But when you're out here loose, like a wild hog in the bush, I think that that desire is unquenchable. When we look at rape and the domestic violence in this country, when we look at drugs and drug usage, when we look at alcoholism, when we look at obesity, when we look at all these particular elements in our society, when we look at corruption, when we look at this sort of an idea of just the white lie that ever expands in our society, we are unquenchable. And I think about this, and I am disappointed. I'm disappointed that there wasn't a regiment put in place for these particular men. You know, when I was young, we used to go on the Discovery Cruise boat. And it would go between Grand Bahama and Port Everglades, right? So whenever we were going away as a family, as a unit, as a collective, right? You know, sometimes 17, 20 of us traveled together. We would go on the Discovery Sun. And so you and all your cousins, they had sort of the buffet in there. And I was always the big one, right? And, you know, everybody running back to get these things. They running back to get the sweets and the this and the that and all those things like that. And if I go back to the buffet twice, Grammy said, come here, boy. And she pulled me close and she said, let me tell you something. When you're out in these settings, put a knife to your throat. She said, put a knife to your throat. Essentially, what she's saying is that there has to come a time when you stop. We have not seen that. With the introduction of what has happened with Michael Johnson a few months back, when we were being able to ingest that with the information that actually spilled out, with the allegations that actually spoke specifically about these particular persons, we haven't seen that. Now, strategically, information has been released, and we've identified even more men. And the allegations have expanded thereof. And our government has now, only now, decided that there needs to be modification, from what I've understood. That I thought that this was a programmed thing. I thought that this was a request for resignation. The information that I received is that the COP says, hey, PM, let me resign. And he took that kind of a blow. Man, I won't talk about this. I won't talk about this. I won't talk about this. This is heavy stuff, guys. And I just want to talk about our disappointment and see if we could be able to sort of, you know, drive it home that our expectations is for our governments, elected officials, and those men and women in uniform branched who is tasked with the responsibility of being able to oversee and secure the nation, that we do not expect this from you anymore. We don't want to see this from you anymore. You have brought shame to our country. You have brought shame to the name. As we continue to be able to fight for a way to be able to find ourselves alleviated from the economic burden of mere survival in the country, you got to bring this on us now. This is too much. I want to talk about it. My good friend's in the studio with me today. He got to say good afternoon. He's walked in here, light up the whole place. I'm grateful that he's here with me. My brother, none other than Ambassador Devin Rule. Say good afternoon, man. How are things with you?
Good afternoon, Bahamas. And Howard, first time I've seen you since your second honeymoon.
My second honeymoon.
I want to say welcome back as well. And it's good to be here. After a November to remember.
And how was Kanaz?
Kanaz was absolutely incredible. Let me say thank you again to all of the Bahamians who came out and supported. It was 4 days. I usually do 3 days. This year was 4 days. And we climaxed with a leadership conclave at Sandals that was just absolutely phenomenal. And it was an honor and privilege to be able to kind of share, network, and strategize with fellow leaders here in the country, most of whom were leadership out of the church setting, but we also had business leaders there. Civic was an incredible experience.
Well, I'm great. I'm grateful to be with you. Grateful to be able to sit here with you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take this first commercial break. I want you guys to join me in conversation today. We're going to be talking about all that's making the headlines. I want to talk more specifically about the government says no to the deportees. I want to draw a scenario for you. But the government says no to the deportees. I can't say that they're wrong for that. But the nature of a businessman is to negotiate. Is there any room for possible negotiation in our 700 islands and keys for us to be able to identify how things can happen? Let's talk about that. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796 right here. We're going to be talking good today. A quick commercial break. Going to get right back after this.
Up shine, boy, come under the great reminder to say this coming Friday, and a police gonna roll the blood. You went to the man number one town round town. I did so Friday evening, boom. The people them tired of working, fana fana. Lord, them hear the disco playing, boom. It make them feel like dancing. Ain't no summer set. Britain will be greater with the disco operator. 5 double 18 and a 6 feet.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver services from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Get ready for the second annual Candy Cane Carnival. Brought to you by Nassau Cruise Port, December the 7th, from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. This free holiday event is perfect for the entire family. Enjoy sweet treats, fun games, and amazing performances by the All-Star Band, Royal Bahamas Police Force, Rhythm and Youth, St. John's College Choir, Bloody and the Scotch Conk Band, and more. This Saturday, meet us at the Candy Cane Carnival at Nassau Cruise Port, the place to be.
Standard Services on Shirley Street, your everything Christmas store, has the perfect gifts just for you. Now until December 24th, you can get 5 to 50% off everything in store, plus 20% off Christmas lights, 25% off artificial Christmas trees, Christmas decorations, and all toys. Standard Services, just around the block with everything in stock. They have everything you need to keep everyone happy this Christmas season. Get the perfect gifts, plus 5 to 50% off everything at Standard Services on Shirley Street, your everything Christmas store. Open Sunday, December 22nd. Janae's Christmas Wonderland is open. Get 20 to 50% off selected Christmas decorations. Restrictions apply. Trees in pink, frosted green or white in a variety of sizes. LED and laser lights, a large variety of tree ornaments, lighted angels, Santa tree toppers, bright and lively colored Christmas balls, garlands, wreaths, red and white stringed cranberry, tree skirts, stockings, and lots, lots more. Add flowers, picks, and decorative mesh to brighten up your home or office this holiday season. And don't forget the toys at Janae's Chesapeake Road. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Janae's Limited. WhatsApp 817-3295.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Lines are wide open if you want to be able to join in the conversation. I just want to talk about this. All right, let's talk about it. I want to structure it like this. Now, we can start with this, and then we can go roll into something else because this is fresh in the papers. Now, I've seen some international stuff. I told you I get my news from YouTube, TikTok, the whole thing, right? And I've seen some international stuff where persons were actually talking about this sort of proposal from the Trump transition team. So Trump's transition team has already started to be able to reach out to other persons. They really work in prior to day one. Right after the election, they were working. They're forging relationships. They're talking about their expectations, trying to be able to ensure that they have everything laid out post-inauguration and with that formalization or the formality of how things are supposed to get done. They want to be able to execute it accordingly. All right, no problem. Good. Okay, so I listened to this story. And the story starts to talk about this, right? Let me see if I can be able to pull up some. Now, the Trump administration proposed that countries such as the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, Panama and Grenada accept deported migrants from other nations where their home countries refuse to take them back. This initiative aimed to address the challenges in repatriating individuals to those countries of origin. However, the Bahamas firmly reject this proposal. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis office stated that the Bahamian government had reviewed and firmly rejected the plan and that they had been no further discussions with the Trump transition team following this discussion. If you look in the papers today, right? If you look in the papers today and you read that and see exactly what you could be able to see that during the press conference held after the statement was issued, the Office of the Prime Minister Director and Communication, Latrey Ramming, said that the Bahamas' position on migration has been consistent through multiple administrations and stressed that the Bahamas values the U.S. as a partner. He said that the government looks forward to working with incoming Trump administration. Office of the Prime Minister's statement was issued after NBC's news reported that the Bahamas was on the list being prepared by the transition team for the U.S. president-elect Donald Trump for countries where migrants who are not accepted by their home countries would be deported. And if you listen to the stories on TikTok, if you listen to the stories in other spaces, they say places like China never take you back. If you are a deportee, they don't take you back. Wow. They just don't take you. But I'm a Chinese. Not today, buddy. You need to find someplace else to live. They don't take you back.
They're big on honor, so they see that as an insult.
It's an insult. Mm-hmm. Especially if you go into America, or maybe Singapore, they'll consider. like, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
But America, they don't take you back. Mm-hmm. So now Trump just want to be able to find himself in this sort of commitment. He said there's going to be mass deportation. And so he didn't think it out, obviously. He's just going about this sort of an idea and just being able to reject people entirely. Mm-hmm. All right, so this is me, right? My consideration for this is that there should have been a deeper conversation. There should have been a deeper conversation. If Trump is willing to move people to the Bahamas, he should be willing to pay for that. He should be willing to pay for that.
I say it's still early, and this is really pre him sitting in the seat, which shows that there's a lot of work going on even before he takes that chair. And I think because it's the idea of planning to send people to other to a country that's not their own, should their country refuse them, is really, I don't want to say crazy, but I can't find a better word. It's crazy when you look at it on the surface. However, I'm thinking, because this is preliminary, I'm thinking they're hoping that most of these home countries do not reject their own citizens, number one. And number two, I think the logic here may be two, because there are a few countries where a lack of citizenry is hurting their growth economically and otherwise. So I think the strategy may be we're hoping that some of these countries actually want to receive more people to help their structure economically and
China
otherwise.
Don't need no more people.
No, China don't need more people. No, not of course. They are sharing their people quite willingly around the world.
Africa might take their people back.
Yeah.
And various countries within the continent of Africa,
mm-hmm.
they may take their people back, mm-hmm. depending on where you're from. Because essentially what it is that you've gone off to America, you've qualified yourself. But the truth is, for the most part, when we hear of Africans going to America, they go through formality. I'm sure that there are some people who slip through the cracks.
Let's use Canada for a case study.
Right.
So from I was in university 25 years ago. Canada was marketing around the world, almost pleading for people to come and live there. I'm here now. They're kind of taking some steps back now, almost three decades later, saying, okay, I think we have outdone ourselves. It's becoming problematic in certain provinces. But they are a case study of an example of a country that wanted and needed more people because they have so much land mass, so much industry.
And they wanted to develop.
Right.
But they started, because I wanted to move to Canada maybe about, I'm going to tell you, 20 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to look into it, and they looked for qualified people in strategic areas.
Yes.
Right? I want to come to Canada to do what, mm-hmm. sir?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they're looking for engineers. They're looking for people with a specific skill set,
yeah.
right? Now, I don't know if they made modifications to that, right? So when I look at this, I think about the Bahamas more specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I think about the fact that we're in this kind of this lull now, and we need to fortify our relationship with the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're teetering on the relationship to be able to have a strong relationship with America and a strong relationship with China.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we as a nation are torn. If you look at it from an administration standpoint, they always genuflect to anyone who brings something to the forefront.
Right.
And if you only want to look at it from the embassies that have developed here
mm-hmm.
and the proximity to those particular things, you know that there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as I look at this and I say to myself, why not have a negotiation with them? Identify a landmass. Let's say Andres, hypothetically, or let's say West Grand Bahama, hypothetically. But this is a hypothetical conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Identify a landmass and create a project. And this project, I want to be able to develop, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
I want these particular things to be done. I need qualified persons in this area, that area, that area. I need X amount of monies to be able to make this happen. We could feed these people. We could do this. We could do that. If you could be able to allow us this amount of money. This is a negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
And so you develop something simultaneously, you could be able to do what you have to do.
How did this story break? Did this break because it was made public in the U.S. or it broke because of our response being public?
No, it broke because the transition team lets everyone knows what they're going to do. Okay, we're going to deport people, right? And we were the first person to say, "Hell no!" That's exactly what we said. We say, "Hell no!
Right.
We're taking nobody on you. Who? What?"
Right. Which
because
I
don't think it had legs. It didn't have any depth and detail to the program. It wasn't reciprocal. It sounds like at the forefront, because I was looking for it, it sounds like at the forefront, just take these people from us. And take them and do what? How are we going to feed them? We import everything.
No, it needs to be more well thought out.
It needs to be thought out. But the Bahamas can help them think this out.
Yeah. I mean, I think there should be, at a very high diplomatic level, some private room discussions, because there is great potential in it if it can be structured and governed properly. We get land masses here that don't have much to any people on it.
When they start to talk about infrastructural development in the Family of Islands,
right,
and they're trying to talk about people moving from 75% of the population of the Bahamas lives in Nassau, and if we want, say, 4,000 or so people, let's call it 400,000 people. That means that 300,000 people live in Nassau, and 100,000 is scattered amongst the Family of Islands. And so Nassau bringing in all the money, Nassau has the burden of being able to ensure that we can take care of the entire Bahamas.
I think that was the strategy. Whenever they had that meeting in the U.S., in terms of Trump's transitional team, somebody in the room says, you know what, the Bahamas has X amount of people, and the vast majority of them live on one small island. They could use some more people on the mother islands.
But they could use... The government says that we need to be able to develop the Family Islands. Now, the government hasn't come up with an initiative to be able to pay anybody to go back home. Mm-hmm. Because essentially, many of us, Exuma, Eleuthera, Ragged Island, Cat Island, Acklands, so forth and so on, that are here in Nassau, we got our own property home.
Right.
We got our property home.
Right.
We didn't have to ask nobody for that, but we ain't got no money to develop
home. Develop the property, yeah.
So we got our children. We can't take them back home to eat potato. Mm-hmm. We have to figure out how we could be able to be here in Nassau. It costs persons who are from the Family Islands more money to live here in Nassau than it is to go back home.
True.
But the government has not figured out how we could be able to get people back home. Mm-hmm. This may be an inroad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think we have models that are developing now. When you look at what's happening in Eleuthera, especially Exuma, Abaco, and well, Bimini is rather small, but that hotel resort down there has brought a whole lot of life there. So we have examples of what can be done developmentally to attract people to go back to their home islands. We need more of it. We need to be more intentional with investing in that regards. And even probably even taking this information into the high school level and say, look here, here's the possibility and the potential of being amongst the first to go back in these islands with the structure that's coming on stream.
But I don't think that, see, for me, this is the second time I've seen this now. I want to be decent. And y'all guys, give me a text. And let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. Now, just at the beginning, at the onset of when Trump transitioned and he won, right? Mm-hmm. So during this transitional period, we would have seen Putin give congratulatory remarks. We would have seen the head of China and other spaces give congratulatory remarks to China. And whilst our government definitely gave the congratulatory remarks, there was a subtle innuendo. There was a sort of a subtle jab at this shift, almost being able to say, well, our expectation is nothing now. When we heard the prime minister say that the biggest fight against climate change would be a shift in political power or administration. And then I said to myself, well, why would you say something like that? Why would you say something like that? Why would you say now... See, because all of his eggs, in so many words, were pushed in the basket of climate change for a very long time. And because Trump is concerned about drill, baby, drill, drill, baby, drill, I believe that the prime minister has to kind of double back and reassess himself to be able to move forward. With all the issues that we're having here, he needs to champion something to be able to be identified as a victor going into 2026. He has nothing on. There's nothing that this prime minister can champion going into... It ain't climate change. Nobody can vote for you for climate change.
Not locally, no.
Not locally. No, but this vote is only local. No one's going to vote for you for climate change.
Well, my comment is that I'm sure he was getting great fanfare on the global stage.
Yeah, but them people don't vote for you.
No, no.
They could probably retain you on this in the event that you try... The Bohemian people oust you at the election. They can retain you and say, we're going to make you consultant in one capacity or another. But the truth is that no one's voting for you for this particular issue. Now, you put all your baskets in the climate change, all your eggs in the climate change basket. Trump wins. Trump says, we're going to drill, baby, drill. The first request that Trump has for you, you soundly reject it. What's going on here?
Well,
this is too much.
we're entering another stratosphere in terms of global.
This is geopolitics.
Geopolitics, yeah, yeah.
This is too, yeah. And you soundly reject it.
I'm hoping, because I need to read up a little bit more on it, but I'm hoping that this was a soft petition, whereas the U.S. was trying to just get a feeder out there to see what the response
would be. It may be a soft petition.
Well, and here's why I'm saying that.
It was a loud rejection. The world is talking about the Bahamas' position, and I don't know whether or not this administration is touting their strength against the big bad America.
And
But there should have been more consideration.
I'm hoping it was a soft petition. I understand your take on the strong rejection. But I know from studying U.S. history, the U.S. doesn't like strong rejection.
But this is what it is.
But like I said, but if it was just a soft petition, then they probably won't take it too badly.
The only thing that we could be able to see that they could recover from is the idea that this is not a formal administration. This is a transitional administration. They haven't formally stepped into a position yet.
Right.
Let's take a telephone call. Guys, the lines are wide open. Caller on the line, go ahead.
What are you doing?
All is well. What's up, Sparky?
Right, yeah. You know how we keep, what was Einstein who said, we keep doing the same thing over and over, we get the same results?
Mm-hmm.
We keep saying the same thing over and over and get the same results. You got certain people you're allowed to call in here, and they just see this.
Sparky, the producer, drop you. Don't fight me. The producer drop you. So you're here. When you call, let's just talk about what you want to talk about. I don't know why you got to cuss me for the way that we operate the show. Don't fight me for that. Guys, the lines are wide open. 323-622-32-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300. 5720, hit me at 422-4796. It's a text that's coming through. It says, are you serious, Howard? He could be exporting rapists and mass murderers. Deeper conversation. We don't want these rejects. We want an intelligent immigration policy. We want people that aren't social services and government housing and burdening their health care. No, you're talking generational impact. So basically, what you're proposing is that we take 20,000 Haitian deportees to each island and mix it in with 5,000 returning original inhabitants? No one said Haitians.
No.
I don't want us to be so small-minded about the conversation. No one's saying Haitians.
No.
And no one, and we're saying that America didn't provide us any strategic information about this.
Yeah.
All right? There are ways to go about these particular things. There are ways to go about this.
Yeah.
And we could be decent about doing it.
This is why I'm going to hold my ground and say I think this was just a soft petition, just a feeler to see what countries and how countries would respond. I think they did their homework in terms of land mass to population ratio. I'm not trying to justify it because from my standpoint, I think it would be impractical for us to take in anybody else right now.
That's like a Turks and Caicos.
Yeah. Our country, that's a good example to use. Our country has been taking in people for now nearly 100 years, and it's to a point now where our masses are hurting, and because the part of the economic pie that's trickling down is too small, and thus we have the outcome of so much crime in our country now because people are hurting in the inner city. So we need to restructure and empower our people to a certain level first before we can even think about taking on more.
Turks and Caicos and the Minister Arlington Musgrove stated that the government will not accept deportees from the United States of America or any other nation who are not citizens of Turks and Caicos. Mm-hmm. He emphasized that Turks and Caicos will not engage in programs that forcibly relocate individuals against their will or country's wishes. Turks and Caicos, like all nations, has a sovereign right to determine who may reside within its borders. The unilateral imposition of third countries' deportation policies, such as those reportedly under the consideration of incoming Trump administration, is fundamentally at odds with international norms and legal standards. Now, this is, watch me, I can be decent about this. From the minister, Arlington Musgrove, mm-hmm, contradicts what they're actually doing.
Mm.
It's a contradiction. They have belonger status right now for all of us who are Bahamian citizens with any former affiliation to get back to Turks and Caicos to be able to populate the island because of a mass growth in their society with migrants, with illegal migrants that are living in Turks and Caicos right now. You're contradicting yourself.
Well, what we must throw into the equation too, Howard, is the idea of sovereignty. Because with the
initial... Sovereignty is, we get to choose. That's all he's saying. Sovereignty is, I get to choose who I want.
We initiated this. We want this belongings this thing.
We only want these people here.
Correct.
We don't want these other people here.
So and that's important because no nation wants to be seen as a pushover and just, you just give us your hand-me-downs and we take it. No, we want to know, we're sitting to the table like men or women and we are making a decision in the best interest of our country. But I'm going to say this too, as a diplomat, we need to be very careful that we don't turn this into a political toy where we're trying to show our strengths too extremely and then people, media's already taking this and running with it.
Who are you proving that to? Who are you proving that to? Trump?
No.
Someone said, what, the Bahamas taking on this kind of a strong position to be able to prove what? What you prove? Who are you proving this to? To Trump?
No, not at all. I think you have to. Well,
are you proving it to the Bahamian people that you could stand strong on something?
Possibly.
Well, this is the wrong fight. You need to figure out another fight.
That's the basis of my caution just now. Be careful that you do not go outside of the realm of diplomatic exchange and make this a political toy.
A sound rejection.
And then media internationally and nationally turns into something else. So politics is very sensitive. If you respond too strongly to stuff, then people take it personally. Then they think it's a duty. Now I must show my strength, like boys in the locker room.
Yeah. I can tell you one thing. We're still looking for the ambassador to come through. Let's see if we can be able to take. Yeah, could we be waiting for a U.S. ambassador? We like the Sharjah affair.
For years.
We've been for years. And the last time we've even gotten close to getting an ambassador, when was that? When Trump was in. Let's just be clear. Let me take the telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
How you doing, Howard?
All is well, my brother. What's happening?
Man, listen here, man. This has been an excellent opportunity for our Prime Minister, you know, to inform the guys. We've been doing this before it became fashionable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, we have been taken in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you all beat the fella up so bad last week. He felt he had to show his, you know, his strength.
You think so?
Yeah, man. Listen here. This would have been an excellent opportunity for our prime minister.
I think this is a missed opportunity.
I
think this is a missed opportunity. I think the rejection. I think the rejection could come after significant communications.
Talk long enough, right?
So you could get a full understanding.
No. But see, talk long enough to get our story out there as to what we have been doing, I mean, for the past, 50, 60 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, we ain't got no space. You know?
You could show the country, and I really do appreciate your telephone call, my brother. You could show the country, I like what you said. We could show the country as humanitarians. We could show the country aligned with the objectives of the UN to ensure that we can take care of all people, that we've been doing this for a very long time. We could show the country examples of how, even when there were issues in 2010 and we had to release persons that we had detained, 110 persons detained, that we've always given consideration to countries, whether it's in region, whether it's outside. We've always been this kind of a space where we've taken care of those persons who come ashore. But the truth of the matter is that I think that this conversation could have been stretched out a little bit further. This is me. This is saying, well, what about the consideration? What about the exchange? And what about the capital needed to be able to institute these particular things? And what about doing this and this and this? And then come back to us in the end of January.
Watch this. Here's what's likely. I don't think the conversation is finished.
You got
to remember now, this is just a transitional team talking. I would imagine that when they take full seat, come January, and probably in a more stronger, when I say stronger, not necessarily forcing us, but now this is going to be official. We need to sit to the table because this is what we need to do. This is our policy. can we speak to your foreign affairs minister or prime minister? Because we have to go at this again
yeah.
in a different way.
Let me take the caller.
Yeah, go ahead.
Caller, go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing?
All is well.
Boy, the master works in a mysterious ways. For years, Bahamians have been crying and complaining about population increase. We need to get to 500,000. We need to get to 1,000,000.
More specifically, now, hold on, before you say that, more specifically, the Minister of Foreign Affairs. Yeah, because this is what Fred Mitchell says.
But Howard, this is not it. This is a jigsaw puzzle. Life is a jigsaw puzzle. They have two options this way. Restart talks with Cuba, because Cuba is the perfect place for a stimulation of immigrants of this sort. But better yet, more than that, let's have a choice. If we could get the skilled immigrants to come here, we could have the hospital we want, we could have the cruise port on the south side, south end of the island we want, we could have the highways that lead from Paradise Island to the airport, over the water we want, we could have the bridge we want, because this is what we wanted the whole time. God always answers your prayer.
This is a complex issue.
You
want
to come when you want, but we come on time.
This is complex. I appreciate you, my brother. This is a complex issue.
Well, it's a complex...
Trump already stopped with the effective, what do they call it? Oh, geez, DEI, right?
Mm-hmm.
The affirmative action.
Yes, DEI.
Trump, yeah. So he's already stopped with the affirmative action, right? Mm-hmm. So the transition for you to be able to go, you have to be qualified to go. However,
right.
There is a proposal on the table that states that anyone from any country who is studying in the United States of America
mm-hmm.
and has a degree after 4 years, after 10 years, so forth and so on, they should be afforded an opportunity to be able to get access to a green card. This is what he's saying. This is what he's saying right off the top. So what you're saying to me now is that they're going to take their pick of the litter and give them green cards and then give us the rejects.
This is where the sovereignty conversation comes in. He's looking out for the best interests of his nation.
Yes,
I don't want to throw back the brains. Let the brains stay here.
Yes, he is.
Help us build. So now, one of the things that we use to discuss in political science and that third world nations didn't do very well is that we either go into fear mode when proposals come from the first world or we fight and get crushed. But what we need to look at from a diplomatic standpoint is that we have the sovereign right to counter-propose.
That's it.
But you put your think tank together, we strategize, and then we say, hey, we thank you for your offer, but here's what we need X amount of billion of dollars.
That's what we need. Point blank.
To structure what we already have now
as
a deficit. And then once we structure that, then probably we can take in maybe...
And Trump will do it.
He may.
He has to do it because he's already made a promise to the United States of America and to the American citizens, the 300 and some million of them,
right.
to indicate that we're going to alleviate the burden on America mm-hmm. by being able to do... They even stopping people from getting the social services check.
Yeah,
they already sending letters to people. They are not going to give you your social services check anymore in the event that you don't have any dependents, in the event that you're in these particular positions.
Right.
They're saying to you, the longest you could be on social services mm-hmm. and social security, all these particular benefits from the government,
mm-hmm.
is 36 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to take 36 months off, and then you could come back for another 36 months.
Right.
This administration ain't playing no games. Guys, let me take this quick break. I'm going to be right back after this.
For me to interruption, boy come and the great reminder to say this coming Friday and a place gonna rock the lawn. You went to see my number one town round town. I did so Friday evening.
This holiday season, the Water and Sewage Corporation is spreading joy with Deck the Halls with Paid Bills. Pay your bill in full by December 21st. Complete the entry form and you're entered to win amazing prizes like a hotel stay, round-trip Bahamas Air ticket, a 60-inch TV, and more. And here's a holiday bonus. Residential customers who pay within 15 days of the bill date get a 5% discount on their next payment. Don't miss out. Pay your bill in full today and celebrate the season with fabulous prizes. Visit WSC.com.bs for details.
At Kelly's House and Home, be your one-stop shop this holiday season. We have Christmas decorations, beautiful giftware, linens for every room in your home, paint, and of course, toys. If you don't know what to buy someone, we can recommend a Kelly's House and Home gift card. Visit our website at kellysbahamas.com to make your shopping even easier with in-store pickup. We're open Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. and on Sundays through December 22nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
The Grand News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
It's the season of joy, unity, and celebration. Join us on Saturday, December 7th at the Government House grounds for The Inclusion. It's a Christmas holiday fair. Fun for the whole family, Jolly Wonderland Playground, bingo, domino tournaments, carnival games, and even the Santa versus Grinch boxing match. At 6 p.m., the TNCNs kicks off with live DJs like DJ Chris, DJ Humble, and more bringing the vibes. Enjoy native dishes, tree lighting, drama, and live performances celebrating unity in the Bahamas. Admission is free, so come and experience the magic of the season. Inclusion, moving towards an inclusive Bahamas.
Excuse me for me to interruption, but you come under the great reminder to say this coming Friday on a place corner over the Babylon. You went to see my number one town around town. I did so Friday evening. Boom! The people them died of work.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Let me take a quick telephone break, telephone call before we get to another break. Call on the line, go ahead. 323-623-2323-54316-325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720 or 24796. Somebody says, LOL, Howard, the house video is on CNN. That's crazy, isn't it? That we getting so much attention.
I thought so too.
For drugs.
I was quite surprised.
Again. Yeah. For drugs, for guns, for corruption. Who could see go to the Bahamas as a paradise through this? The fella tell me it's a gangster paradise. That's what it is. Let's take a next telephone break. I mean, telephone call. Call up, go ahead.
Hi, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great, man. Could you define to me a skilled and unskilled migrant and which country they'll be coming from?
I couldn't define any of that for you. That's a definition that we're going to have to be able to make a decision from a governmental standpoint in terms of what the necessity is for our country. And once we could say if they meet these qualifications, then we could be able to bring them over. The Bahamas needs laborers. We need laborers. We need to develop the Southern Islands. We need to develop the Southern Islands. This is how I feel. This is me. This is an easy conversation. Detroit right now is the Motor City. That's how you know Detroit is.
Yes.
The Motor City. Mm-hmm. They have all the Chryslers, all the mm-hmm. they make these particular things. Yes, in Detroit.
Yeah. Yep.
However, they are moving towards industry and development. And so the negotiation is say, okay, well, why don't you give us some of this work for building up boats mm-hmm. in the Southern Bahamas? This is negotiation, that's it. Mm-hmm. You either say yes or you say no. We want to be able to develop boats in the Southern Bahamas. Now, Grand Bahama already has a port where they fix them. Mm-hmm. The cruise ships, we won't build them. We could create industry in this country through negotiation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A sound no, I don't think was the sharpest move out of the gate. I think we should think about it, put a committee together, make a determination as to where the pros and cons exist, put a SWOT analysis together, put a concept, an idea, a vision of what we can be able to do, and then present that to the Trump administration team over the next 2 weeks, and then make a determination whether or not they bite at something. And if they don't, then okay.
Mm-hmm. Kind of propose.
That's it. You got to kind of propose. Guys, let me take a break for news. Going to be right back after this.
For me to interruption, but you come under the great reminder to say this coming Friday on a place corner over the lawn. You went to see my number one town round town. I did so Friday evening. Boom! The people them tired of working. Ba-da-ba-da. Lord, them hear the disco playing. Boom! It make them feel like dancing. Ain't no summer set. Britain will be great and with the disco operator.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Christmas!
must come only once a year, so they say. So have no fear, just go and go have fun, but not drink too much rum. Yeah, yeah. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Prospero año. We are back, ladies and gentlemen, still in the festive season, still in the festive mode, being able to talk about these things. I got some tickets to give away. I got to be able to do that today. I know Trishawn actually gave it to me. She had something, and she wants me to be able to ensure that I can give it to you guys. And so y'all can be able to enjoy yourselves, man. This is the Christmas time, and we're going to be able to ensure that we're in this kind of a space that we can take care of you. A movie that's going to be out... yeah, I think it's a movie that's going to be out tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow. Let me read it up. Let's see exactly what's that. A Night of Short Films, written and directed by Dario Eriks Poitier. He's The Deranged, The Inheritance, What's in Your Hand, One Experience, three short films, Saturday, December 7th at 7:30 p.m. at Atlantis Theater. And the tickets are actually $40, but I have one here available for you. So if you guys want to call and just ask for that ticket, I have one ticket available for you. We can be able to do that. All the movies are rated B. It's going to be at Atlantis tomorrow evening, Saturday at 7:30 p.m. You can be able to do that. Get ready for a cinematic thrill. It's a night of short films, Dario Eriks Productions, and featuring a mesmerizing short film, Deranged, The Inheritance, and What's in Your Hand at the Atlantis Theater, Paradise Island, Saturday, December 7th, at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are on sale now for $40 each, but I got one available for you guys, right? So you can be able to get that on Carmichael Road, near Scotia Bank. I think it's called Monk Air Fashion, and All Seasons Book Gift Gift Center, Palmdale. And you can be just smart casual. If you want more information, give them a call at 436-6405, 436-6405. If you're interested in the tickets, please call me and let me know. I'm sitting here with my very good friend, Ambassador Devin Rowe, and being able to talk about what's happened in the country. First thing out the gate, we just talked about this sort of a deportee concept, the transitional team from Trump actually presented to the Bahamas, and we soundly rejected. But one of the things that's been on the lips of everyone in the country is what's happened December 4th. Downtown Nassau, Rawson Square. It started off with a day where the Free National Movement, a day before, on my show, because I listened to it, on my show, on the commercials, you would have been able to hear the Free National Movement say, we're going to be having a rally, come out, so forth and so on, support us, we're going to go down to Rawson Square, and we want you to be a part of it. The next morning, you would have been able to see the clips where they had a coffin draped in the Bahamian flag, and the procession walking downtown with a coffin before them. Then you had like a sea of red. It wasn't like a deep sea, right? But it had to have been at least 6 foot deep. But let's call it 8 feet. It was 8 feet. Okay. Right? 300 or so people. When I passed through, it was about 150 to 200 persons. But the crowd got a little bit thicker as time progressed. Mm-hmm. And then we hear in the House of Assembly, we see the apparent frustration of not only the leader of the opposition, but also the deputy leader, and the steadfast position that the speaker has taken to say that I will get to that when I get to that. And we see Shannon Dawn stand up, open the window of the House of Assembly, and push the base through the window. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about your assessment and how you see those particular things and how you took that, because I think everyone in the country has had a position on what they think that this meant.
Okay, that's a deep one, Howard. So I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of it happened, because
I only saw that initial clip. When I saw it for the first time, I was wondering what led up to the level of frustration demonstrated by Shannon Dawn Cartwright. And to throw the mace out, you know, for the Bahamas, this is a very significant historical action. And it meant that we had enough and it was time for the country to change. I don't know if our present modern day politicians were going for that same effect. But when it happened, I, again, immediately wanted to know more of the backdrop before that moment, if it was a consistency of rejection from the speaker that led to this frustration. Maybe the opposition has had a challenge with this particular speaker for the last several months, maybe the last 2 years. And so the frustration probably built up. But I do understand. So my position was, I wanted to understand whether the reaction was justified based upon what came before. I wasn't quite sure. And then later, in looking at subsequent clips on social media, I saw that a coffin was brought there. And so clearly the day was a little dramatic, to say the least. And clearly an intentional effect was desired by the opposition. You want to say that we're tired.
Do you think it was by design? Based upon what you see.
But when you look at the fact that a coffin was brought up there draped in the Bahamian flag,
all those things are by design, but you think that either the...
Do I think that the cast, that was it spontaneous?
Let's do this. Do you think that the cast, they did too much ad-lib in terms of being able to throw the mace out the window? Because if everything else was designed, it feels like this was... Because if you look at Michael Pintard, he was like, what's going on? But that's not what Lincoln is saying. We listened to Lincoln last night on the record, and Lincoln has indicated... last night or night before, one or the other, I just watched a clip. Mm-hmm. And Lincoln has indicated that Adrian White opened the window beforehand.
Yeah. According to the clip that's shown, it appears that is the case, which makes one wonder again whether premeditation was involved. And if, okay, because I mean, there is a theatrical element to politics, because politicians on either side are trying to convince masses, because it's really not the small sector of the elite nor the intellectuals who I consider the minority in the voting pool. Politicians vie over the attention and the affinity of the masses. And sometimes to garner that, they do things overtly that can be seen as theatrical to get the attention, because we can't get our message over properly.
We see that from the DNA. We see that from the COI. We see that from any organization who wants to be able to rattle the cage significantly.
Especially, for example, if these organizations are not getting their fair share of media time.
If you don't get media time and media attention,
so you do the
outlandish
because we want the attention. And hopefully, when we get the attention, we say something that wins their.
But not a 50-year-old organization who has found victory and held victory in this country for more than 20 years non-consecutively.
So we don't know. We can't say of a surety whether it was spontaneous or premeditated. That particular moment, because Shannon Dawn may just say to us, he ran hard, he had enough of it, and so he acted.
I thought that's what I saw.
Yeah.
I thought, because as I looked at Michael, Michael's turn to say, like, oh no, wait. And then I looked at everyone. I looked at Iram. Iram was like, hold on, what's going on over here? And he stood up.
Okay. I literally said that to, I think, my wife. I said, it didn't appear as though Pintard and the other opposition members were on the same wavelength temperamentally as Cartwright. It didn't seem so in that moment. So, I mean, that still doesn't mean it wasn't premeditated. It still could have been. That might have just been the moment that Cartwright said, that's it, I'm going to do this now because she's doing too much in his opinion. But again, because of the moment and everything that led up to it, a lot of people now are wondering,
was this insane or not? And so
it's crazy.
I don't know.
That's crazy. For all that you did for people to question the sincerity now could diminish the implication of what you or the objective of what you're trying to get to. Let me take a telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. How you doing? How you doing?
Good afternoon, Larry. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. I've been listening to you since Darcy time, so you know that's been a good while.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am. Come on real, real good.
Thank you.
Now, what I want to do, because I'm going to have to listen to you, I'm going to read off a few things that I jotted down.
Okay, go ahead.
Have you been listening to Mr. Do you remember Mr. Trump, what he called these islands out here?
Yes, he called Haiti more specifically an asshole island.
All right. Do you understand our situation here with imported people, people who come in?
Yes, ma'am.
The open lands and the family islands belong to people, to Bahamian people who are here in New Providence right now who would want to go home or who would go home in due time, either them or their children, and their property should be there for them. They have been deporting foreigners from the United States all along, all the time. Every time you go by a gas station or whatever, you can hear the accent. When the people, wherever they pick them up, on the sea or wherever, they send them back. They only want them to be near the Bahamian waters. They send them back to the Bahamas, all right? And they do not take them back. They send them back. It's so much more things I have to say, but I'm going to keep listening. But my my young brother, get on the right track and stay on the right track, and let's do right, and let's encourage right and goodness.
So let me ask you this before you go.
At the end of the day, goodness is always going to prevail. At the end of the day, when all the foolishness and nonsense would have gone on, all right, the truth and right will always surface.
So you agree? You agree with this administration? You agree with them by rejecting this entirely? You agree?
Okay. Trump don't have that kind of credibility to say you're going to believe him and trust him. He said he's going to send every single one of them out. He couldn't care where he said, just since they get out America. Yes, he said so, right?
Wow.
And somehow or the other, the American people, they are scrambling now themselves because they allowed him so much freedom doing foolishness, so he's doing it right now, and he means what he says. All right. Thank you so much for listening to me.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for your telephone call. Let me take the next one. Caller on the line, go ahead. Caller on the line, go ahead. Next call. Caller on the line, go ahead. 323-623-2316. 325-4259 anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Yes, Howard. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up, C. Allen?
Let me just make 2 points. I want to speak on immigration, but let me first go to the maze. Can I read something for you?
Go ahead.
When the PLP contingent walked into the house and took their seats on the eastern side, Samila went and opened the window on that side in preparation for this. But we knew that. We saw what was happening. Speaker Bobby Simonon, who's quite an astute politician, seems not to get the hint that something was going to happen. And the mace was drawn out, followed by the hourglass. And Sir Lyndon Pinnon got up and said, the people are outside. So this mace belongs outside with the people too. And the speaker was abusing the power that was delegated to him to represent the people. Well, guess what? This is an exact duplication of that event, because the speaker was abusing the power. You can go back and watch the video. The entire time the speaker is speaking to the leader of opposition, she's looking at the leader of government. Mm-hmm. If you're speaking to me, then speak to me. So it tells me she's getting cued. But I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine that the Free National Movement is so good at governance. They got the PLP to plot in advance to not let them speak. Advance to get the speaker to suppress them, so all of these things could fall in line. Are you telling me that
No, that's not what I'm saying to you. What I'm saying to you is that, yes, this is, I think that there was, it came to a head. I think it came to a head. But I think the decision after it erupted to this particular point, what, this is where a lot of persons indicate that the theatrics come in.
No, right? But Howard, realize, let's look at the premise, okay, like in a crime. Let's look at the premise. You're telling me that the speaker had to work with them to deny them their rights so that they would then be able to take action and throw it out the window.
No, I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying that, yes, the speaker should have been able to be more cordial in her particular approach, more bipartisan, more equal and balanced, and ensuring that persons...
I would summarize, say the speaker should have done her job.
She should have done her job.
Right. That's, I mean, so I'm simply saying this. If this was staged, then the TLP got played like a guitar. Well, okay? Because they were the ones who collectively, and I'm now putting the speaker no longer as an independent speaker, but as part of the PLP caucus.
Yeah.
That they worked together to make sure and advance, because from the last time the speaker knew what was going, knew that there was an expectation of contribution to this, what is happening. So, and they played it exactly the way they did.
I think,
so
I
anything
think,
get played. So,
see, Alan,
but,
I think I see what you're trying to highlight there. So if you're saying, because if they saw the premeditation, this the speaker could have deviated from a normal
and allowed him to speak.
And allowed him to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not brought apart. I'm saying to you, I could plan and say, you know what? I'm going to go sit in Wendy's down on by the College of the Bahamas. And when Howard comes in here, I'm going to slap him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't told Howard I need him to come to Wendy's.
Right.
So the only way that Howard shows up to Wendy's is if I make arrangements. So, you know, it didn't happen. So the speaker was not part. Would you say the speaker was part of this or not?
No, unless you know my routine.
That's the only way. That's what I'm saying.
And essentially what you're saying to me is that we've seen the routine of the speaker always being able to genuflect a bipartisan.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying to you is that the argument of it being planned would also mean that the speaker was a participant in the plan because her actions led to this.
Wow.
That's all I'm saying. That's plain and simple. It is. So if the speaker was not part of the plan, then what exactly happened? See, I think what they're trying to take away from this is the significance of what the mace represent. The mace belongs to the people, not to the speaker, not to the PLP, not to the FNM.
But in the papers today, if you read the papers today and Michael Pintard being able to take on this kind of a position, the Free National Movement accuses the Prime Minister of gaslighting the Bahamian people. He started to talk about how it's ceremonial in this particular capacity. So he himself has actually stripped the perceived power of the mace by being able to even give the preamble of ceremonial.
Ceremonial or representative, it is still the power of the people. Mm-hmm. Because the power of the people is and always shall just be greater than the people in power. The problem is we somehow have allowed, and now you have the Progressive Liberty Party trying to say, as if the parliament is has supremacy over the people.
Yeah.
We didn't give them power, you know. We give them the authority to act on our behalf. The people always have the power.
I appreciate you, man. C. Allen, thank you so very kindly. Let me take one more telephone call before we can go to a break. Call on the line, go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Howard Grant.
Hey, what's up? What's up, 52?
Good afternoon, Mr. Devin Roy.
Good afternoon, 52.
Yeah, you know, Howard, I'm afraid that, you know, the truth and common sense has left us, right? And I'm a dummy, so I want you to document or datify or quantify where is it that it stipulates or shows that proof beyond a refutable doubt, right? Or doubt, right? That the more population a place has, the more economic stability it has, or equates to economic success there. If you believe filling up the country with poor migrants, right, will help us, right, then God help us all, because don't send no more in the Grove and in the city. We have enough migrants. And I don't want any of the next person call and talk about xenophobia, ask them to spell it, because what happens is, why can't we, all right, let's say we take the migrants, right? How about we make a settlement for them, by Old Fort Bay or out by the airport somewhere. Because what I'm saying is, I had a Haitian-American girlfriend, Haitian Bahamian girlfriend before. And so one of the ladies that I was attracted to, a very dark, beautiful lady who took care in a commercial area in the States, was actually Haitian, person of Haitian descent. So this narrative of xenophobia doesn't pan out. You see, that is the psychological ops. Maybe France should take some of them. But what I want to touch on and highlight on is our level, like you and the bishop started to talk about corruption, but what I'm saying is I want to blame the media a little bit here, because just as you referred to Mr. Pintar's article from The Guardian, I had begged Aaron mentioned it, but no one mentioned the Sonny Miller case, the officer with the Crooked Island incident, in which it was in the newspaper. This was in the Tribune. And it shows these scenarios get, right, as the evidence by the witness, the pilot of the plane. All this is in the Tribune, though. But nobody sought to read it to the Bahamian people, so maybe the PM and other people could hear it and then know, say, well, they really lie. And they're trying to gaslight it as though they was not aware of the level of the nefarious activity taking place here and there. So we are all to blame. Because, Ben Citizen, if I was saying something, you didn't get interested in what the federal grand jury, but something that is really reading between the lines and obvious, it was speculations, and you know, we see the voice notes and we hear the voice notes from the different whistleblowers, et cetera, et cetera. But we sit and turn a blind eye until it pops up in our face from Uncle Sam or Martha, and then you start to listen, right? But let's move beyond that now. So, when we look at the how the media handled that, then we are all to blame. We are already being overrun with migrants in the inner city, Howard. What place can overrun?
But, 52, are we thinking about the Bahamas as Nassau?
What I'm saying is, you still have to have controlled migration. But the lady called, I want to comment on something that she said, because I think she hit the nail on the head. Because what happens is, what you don't realize, and I don't know if you realize it, but you have to realize that the Trump administration and the American policy, they would deport the person back to the port of embarkment. So if they leave from the Bahamas, that means they would send them back here without documentation. I noticed. Mm-hmm. I had an Asian-American girlfriend who was over there for 30 years, and she was sent back.
Yes.
I mean, God bless her soul, she's already in the grave now. But what I'm saying is, I saw a trend where I have a friend who's Haitian. He was born here. But most of them keep saying they born in Freeport. But he's saying his father never leave Haiti. So maybe his mother came here when he was pregnant, and then she got him here. But what I'm saying is, I don't know if he lied to me or not, but it seems as if there's a lot of nefarious activity going on with immigration and granting citizenship and residency, because every one of them I meet, they're saying they born in Freeport. So it's something to do with either these justice of the peace signing. It's Howard. We must wake up and live, you know. And see, Allen being mentioned, this citizen digital ID for so long, and nothing is being implemented to curtail this type of... you must listen to the Bahamian citizens, you know. What I'm saying is, why can't we face the attitude? You just said that. All right, the Haitians are not the disproportionate migrant, but they are predominant over here for us. So it's our problem with America is different. Our problem is different from America's problem. That's what I meant to say. See what I'm saying? So we can't be naive and just be overwhelmed by these migrants from the south and just let them become unabatedly. That is counterintuitive. That is BS at best.
That's why 52. I can accept what you're saying, because the truth of the matter is, and I appreciate your telephone call. The truth of the matter is that this is listen. I like what you say when C. Allen starts to talk about the citizens' digital ID. I like that. We started to talk about this when we saw Dorian, when we saw the influx of persons coming from Abaco, when we saw persons are coming over here and they got all the telephones, they got registry, they got all these particular things, and we don't know where some of them is right now. Right now, today, we don't know where they is right now. Right now. We know that the issue existed in these particular spaces from 2010 when Hubert Ingraham released these particular persons from the detention center. We have a weight on our shoulder as it relates to, more specifically, Haiti. And the influx of Haitians coming into our country. We do. But that doesn't negate the fact that we're not only talking about Haitians. And we're not talking about them coming to Nassau. This is only a conversation. The country has rejected the idea. And this is the kind of space that we're in now. We have to figure out how we move forward. If we need money, there has to be reciprocity in the space. Let's be able to talk about it. I'm going to take a quick break and be right back after this.
That's from the bottom of my heart. I wish you a reggae Christmas.
Attention Marco's Pizza lovers in Freeport and to our Cable Beach customers. We have heard you. Marco's $10 carryout, one large, one topping pizza is now available at all locations. That's right. Whether you live out east, west, central, south, or in Freeport, Marco's has you covered. Call in or order online and pick up in restaurant today. Marco's is getting bigger and better by the moment. This unbeatable deal is available for a limited time only.
Janae's Christmas Wonderland is open under the Big Ten. Get 20 to 50% off selected Christmas decorations. Restrictions apply. Trees in pink, frosted green or white in a variety of sizes, LED and laser lights, a large variety of tree ornaments, lighted angels, Santa tree toppers, bright and lively colored Christmas balls, garlands, wreaths, red and white stringed cranberry, tree skirts, stockings, and lots more. Add flowers, picks, and decorative mesh to brighten up your home or office this holiday season. And don't forget the toys at Janae's Chesapeake Road. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Janae's Limited. WhatsApp 817-3295.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Christmas come only once a year, so they say. So have no fear, just go and go have fun, but not drink too much rum. No way, no way. Yeah, yeah. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Lines are wide open. 323-6232-325-4316. 323-325-4259. Anywhere for the family of islands. 242-300-5720. Hit me up. 422-4796. I want to be able to shouts out to Varen. Is that the name that we use? Or Varon, how do you pronounce it? Vernon, I'm sorry, Vernon Clark, who just won the tickets. Vernon Clark is going to be downstairs for you. Just let Jennifer know. We can be able to put that. I sent all the information down. Vernon Clark, you're going to be able to go down there to Paradise Island tomorrow evening at 7:30 to be able to see three phenomenal pictures. All local, all crafted from Bahamian talent. And so enjoy those particular things and have a good time. Guys, join in the conversation. Let me take a telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead. Call on the line. Go ahead. Next caller. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands. 242-300-5746. Let me see if I can read a couple of these texts and see what people are saying on here. It says, Howard, tell these old people to sit small. It's because of them that we are the way that we are today. Hidden from wise and prudent, revealed to babes. They had their time. This is crazy. Are you telling people they the whole living people go sit down? This is too much. This is weird. Bahamians somehow missed the big picture, which is our country is under siege in corruption with those on police force and in authority. The mace being thrown out is insufficient. Now, let me tell you how I feel about that. Strong. The resignation of the chief of police was insufficient for me. For the PLP to be able to show me that this is truly a New Day administration, the resignation of the chief of police was insufficient for me. The allegations are too strong in the indictment that went forward, and it's indicated, and this is something that's strategic. I just want to be decent as I say this. Mm-hmm. America has been doing this for a very long time. I ain't gonna get too deep. But America has been doing this for a very long time. You could read books upon books how governments have crumbled mm-hmm. because of external influences that have been presented in those particular spaces. America has been doing this for a very long time. I just want to say this to you. Now, what I mean by that is this.
I was going to actually define this.
Okay. What I mean by that is this. The indictment has strategic language, if you watch it. And the way that the human mind works, as you read it, it gives pause, it gives question. Mm-hmm. So if you call these people's name is called bam, bam, politician. Hold on, who's a high-ranking politician? It make you put a target on the back of at least 32 members, if not the other seven from the Free National Movement. At least 32 members of the PLP are all perceived suspects in the minds of are reading this.
I think you've narrowed it more than that. I think when you're high ranking, you limit it to the cabinet.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
I think that may have been the intended.
So now you're reading this and you're trying to be able to make a determination. How do we alleviate this? How do we not just, we're not here to show America that we're going to genuflect to what you're doing. We're here to fix this problem and weed out corruption. The resignation of the chief of police, in my view, is not enough.
Well, would you say?
If I see a cabinet shuffle, that's even worse.
Would you at least give it a good start?
That's a good start.
Okay, all right.
That's a good start. I like that.
Good start.
That's a good start. But it ain't. That shouldn't be the end.
Yeah. Well, I mean. And it's significant too in terms of what's been happening in this country over the last several years, because we've had situation after situation at high level. There's been no movement whatsoever.
It's better than a garden leave. That's what Michael Johnson had.
Yeah.
At the beginning, at a few months back when we had the allegations and so forth and so on, and all the voice notes that we listened to, it's better than the garden leaf.
It's much stronger.
It's much stronger than the garden leaf.
Much stronger.
But it doesn't say to me that this is where it begins and ends. The corruption still abides. It still exists. How are we going to root it out entirely?
All right. So let's look at this from a political evaluation in terms of, when I say political, not partisan politics, but just being a political observer. Political consultant, when you look at this at play, that situation that's been exposed by the U.S. demands action on both sides. It demands that the governing party show a strong resolve to eradicate corruption.
This has given the Progressive Liberal Party, and more specifically Brave Davis, his eggs back. He lost his eggs in climate change. He's just gotten his eggs back.
This is eggs. Margaret Thatcher,
where you gonna put these now?
Margaret Thatcher's greatness was seen when there was crisis. So this is an opportunity now to show your resolve as a strong leader
and fire some people,
and to bring about some resolve to get rid of corruption. On the opposition side, you can't miss this opportunity to try to highlight.
No, I think they took full advantage.
No, I'm saying when these kind of things happen, there's actions demanded on both sides. The opposition know this is a window now to try to magnify.
Very small window. They got to work quick.
They have to work quick.
They did so.
To magnify the inadequacies. And the president and government say, no, all governments have weaknesses, but we're going to show you how we're going to deal with this. So inaction is not an option for either side. So let's just look at it from the non-partisan viewpoint. We understand that both parties have to take up opportunity, and whoever does not act loses big in the public eye.
Well, the Free National Movement has acted.
Yeah.
And in the public mind, I think that there's two perceptions. One, that this is theatrics.
Right.
It is emotional. It is staged. And the other, that the Free National Movement has taken on this kind of a strong position, and I believe that the PLP is done. That's the two views that exist in the public sphere now.
But let's go deeper as we look at this. they were backed in the corner. They had to do something. You had Lincoln coming out and confronting their leader publicly and screaming him down. You had the...
By the way, I wouldn't even say nothing to Lincoln. I'd stand right there and call for the clerk of the house. I'd call for the sergeant of arms. Yeah, because I supposed to be here. This, I as an elected member of parliament, I wouldn't even row with Lincoln. Anyway, go ahead. That's, so, I wouldn't even say nothing to Lincoln. I stand right there and let him row.
These last two shows with you, I'm convinced you are on a campaign to end my diplomacy.
No. No, I try to be decent with you, right? Let me take a telephone call. Let me leave you alone. Let me take a telephone call. I leave you alone. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Howard. And
hey, my brother. What's up with you?
Now, Howard, I want you to take a deep thought. Now, have you heard from the most educated FNM? Dwayne Sands? No, because he ain't down with this this government high school fighting silent thing.
Dwayne Sands is the chairman of the organization.
Before Papa. Canon, ruthless, and blocking the roads. When Papa kept the FNM, he brought decency and fighting in the park. I listen to now. Being indicted, usually the mayor of New York got indicted, he's still on the job. Mm-hmm. Until your day in court, you is assumed innocent, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody freaking out for. Let's see what the feds got on something up. This thing started when FNM was in power. On Shanique Miller's show, Marvin Deems said he met that man to the airport. And he left him there. So this corruption started when FNM was in power.
Hold on now, hold on. Hold on. Hold on, before you say these people said a cease and desist to my show, what you mean that Marvin Deems said...
That he met the Curtis man at the airport.
Take that out of context. The man is ahead of the police. He's ahead of the police at the airport.
Head of the airport. Yes. There.
Don't take it out of context now. That's where the man work.
Okay, so why? So, but then... The corruption started when Marvin Deems was with
Hold on. Office. How did you lace corruption? Hold on. I got to let you go because you're doing too much. These people, all kind of lawyers listening to this right now. You need to stop. Right, let's be clear.
How is he so confident saying
how stop? Can he lace corruption with the fact that this is where the man worked? This is where he worked. I don't want to be decent with you. Yeah. Can I be decent? Okay, take a pause. I don't.
Go ahead.
The last time the chief of police, Clayton Fernanda, okay, so when... Marvin Deems was in. You remember that shakeup that existed, right?
Yes.
When Steve Dean and Fernanda mm-hmm. and some others
yeah.
were actually kind of transitioned out of the force,
yes.
right? They mm-hmm. were put on leave. Some mm-hmm. of them went to different departments.
Security services.
Some of them do all sorts of things, right? They did all these particular things, and the country was up in arms about this.
Yeah.
We didn't understand what was going on. Why did Marvin Deems do this? So mm-hmm. forth and so on. We had no idea. The mm-hmm. Minister's administration was steadfast in this. And we all speculated
right.
that this was based upon a previous relationship and indifference that existed when Marvin Deems was on the force. You remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we remember this. Now, as a result of that, Clayton was gone. When Marvin went, Clayton came back. Now, Clayton Fernanda, in his particular capacity, calls Marvin Deems' name again. Again, you call him my name again. And as soon as you call his name, bam, you lose your job again. You need to leave Marvin alone. You need to leave him alone. I just want to be very clear about this. As we look at this and we look at the layout that exists in these particular spaces, we have to make a determination. And we don't know who's on which side. We don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who's corrupt. I can't say who's corrupt. I can say based upon allegations, based upon the indictment, based upon the information, we know that there's a target. There are names that come to the forefront. However, we still know that this is only a link. There is a cell that exists. There is a grouping that exists. And I refuse to believe that any of these men went AWOL. I refuse to believe that these men who have served their entire life
yeah.
to taking directives and following and complying and never complaining
right.
that they have gone AWOL
yeah.
for money that many of them don't even know how to hide. There is a bigger target here. And America took 3 years. I'm sure they have the information. Let's talk about it when we get back after this.
From the bottom of my heart, I wish you a reggae Christmas. I wish you a Irish Christmas.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Everything is bigger and better at Burger King Nassau. When you have a big appetite, BK has a royal deal for you. Get a flame-grilled double Big King Jr. or an original chicken sandwich, plus four chicken nuggets, small fries, a drink, and a fresh baked cookie for only $9.95, including VAT. The royal deal was built for a big appetite. And at $9.95, including VAT, it's a steal of a deal. Go big and enjoy the BK flavors you love with the $9.95 royal deal at Burger King Nassau.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Get ready for the second annual Candy Cane Carnival, brought to you by Nassau Cruise Port, December the 7th, from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. This free holiday event is perfect for the entire family. Enjoy sweet treats, fun games, and amazing performances by the All-Star Band, Royal Bahamas Police Force, Rhythm and Youth, St. John's College Choir, Lottie and the Scotch Conk Band, and more. This Saturday, meet us at the Candy Cane Carnival at Nassau Cruise Port, the place to be.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Christmas come only once a year, so they say. So have no fear, just go and go have fun, but not drink too much rum. No way, no.
Yeah. And we are back in these last few minutes. Let me go straight to the phone lines. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Wonderful. I have a question and I have a statement.
Now, what's up, Erica? Go ahead, Erica.
No, this is Priscilla.
Oh, I'm sorry, Priscilla. Go ahead.
Yes. I don't know why people call me that. But, one, what would make a country not want their own citizens? That's one. And two, I'm trying to get some clarification. Exactly why was the mace thrown out the window? Because, let me just say this, we know last week the House was suspended because there was a disruption. And they said, we're going to suspend it, we'll further communications, and that's what they did this week. Okay? The Prime Minister came, he spoke, and he said, we, the Commissioner of Police, resigned. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't that what we wanted?
On the surface, I think that's what a lot of persons want. But this is the beginning of the kinetic energy. This is the moving from potential to kinetic with that nudge.
Here's what I think. The proceedings. Not once, and I'm speaking as a woman, because I feel, with the Speaker in the House, yes, she was a little rough on the edges in the beginning. Yes, she was. But I think people are judging her on her past behavior or the clips that we've seen and that has gone around. But since I've really watched the House of Assembly and I watch what she does, she always brings out the books, she states the rules, but it seems as if the rules doesn't want to be followed. And I think at some time she's being disrespected because she's a woman. And some people think that she's beneath them. Now, in that situation, she never denied him that he couldn't speak. He was never denied that he couldn't speak. She says, give me a chance. After the Prime Minister spoke and said what it was, I think that the opposition did not expect for the prime minister to come in and give the resignation of the commissioner of police. I think at that time, what they should have done was locked arms, bang on the desk, and demand that they call for the commission. I mean, the minister of national security as well. Because I'm looking at it now, they gave you what you wanted. You got what you wanted, but you still throw the mace out? That's what I'm not understanding. So maybe somebody could bring some clarification for that for me. So okay. One, why would another country not want their citizens, and why do they think they need to come here?
Okay.
And exactly why was the mace thrown out the window even when you got what you wanted?
I can try to be able to answer those questions. I thank you so very kindly. I got a couple minutes left, so I can see if I can get to these next two calls. First and foremost, Russians are citizens of the United States of America. That's just first and foremost.
I think she's meaning the countries that they're sending them back to. Why would those countries reject their own citizens?
More specifically, we talked about China.
Yeah.
Right? You have essentially rejected China.
I think Cuba doesn't accept them back either.
Cuba doesn't accept you back either.
Right.
Right? Like, that's why there was the wet foot, dry foot opportunity. When you actually hit land in America, you became almost instantaneously an American citizen.
Right.
You remember Alien Gonzalez when he went through everything like that. As soon as he hit the ground, he was straight.
Because America knew that Cuba was not going to take him back.
Cuba's not going to take you back.
Yeah.
He was straight. They made modifications to that.
Yeah.
But some countries reject you entirely. When you decide to be able to go against the sovereignty that exists in that particular nation, that's it.
Let me land this to the conversation too. So you have a contrast in terms of governmental systems. America's is capitalist, Cuba is communist.
Yes,
those systems clash. China is as well. When you've been exposed to the capitalist system and come back into the communist system, you tend to be a rebel because now you're fighting for rights.
The comforts that you exist that existed in a space that you were.
That your country doesn't embrace.
Your country doesn't have those particular things. Now, Cuba is in this kind of a space right now, and they're agitating even through the UN to ensure that they can be able to see alleviated some of the embargo that exists in them right now. And they're saying no. So America is stiff neck on that.
Mm.
It's stiff neck on that. Cuba's having a major, major migration issue. A lot of persons are leaving Cuba.
Right.
Almost 3 million people left Cuba.
I heard you talk about that.
You understand? And so when you see these things, that's what you're talking about now. That's why citizens wouldn't want you back. That's one.
Part two.
Two. What was the second question that she was talking about?
She wanted to know, she said there would be an affair regarding the speaker. The speaker was giving them a chance, and she thinks that they're beating her with an old switch, what they accused her of in the past, and she's saying that this was not the case this time. So she's making the argument, it's simply what I was saying before, that I didn't see, I probably need to watch more of it to see what would justify it.
I stand to be corrected, but I know that there was some information that was given to the speaker from last week indicating that a request was made to be able to speak at the time that Michael Pinto had stood up.
Okay.
And this rejection has actually stirred the pot.
Right,
and so they figured that she would reject them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was telling to C. Allen,
that
you only could be able to make a determination based upon whether it's ritual, whether it's a rhythm, whether it's a routine that
routine
I take.
Of the person. Yeah.
So if this is the routine, the rhythm, the ritual that I take, then this rejection, it was almost inevitable.
Yes.
So they knew that they were preparing for this
because
there is an expectation that she would do these particular things.
Yeah.
You understand? Even though that for us who don't necessarily always watch and ingest the House of Assembly, this was something contrary to what our expectations were.
What?
Guys, I can't get to your calls today. I want to thank you so very kindly. That's the show today. My brother, I want to thank you for being able to join me today.
Yeah, this was a good time. Flew by really quickly. Good to have you back. And it was nice being with you today.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your weekend. Have a beautiful time. Get yourself prepared for the holidays. Don't spend all your money. And don't spend all your money without advertising with me. Give me a call, 827-0111, if you want to be able to get something done for the Christmas season. Guys, enjoy your weekend. Have a beautiful time. I can watch Moana 2 with my babies and enjoy myself. All right? Y'all have a great time. I'm going to see you next week. Godspeed.
From the bottom of my